Thank you, Mark. My name is Chris Esselton, and I am the designer modifier of the COSY 540RG.
Next slide. Back of slide. Laser pointer.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Just a quick bit of history. This is my third airplane. I built a quickie, single seat quickie. In my 20s, my 30s, I built a three seat COSY, the COSY 3, and flew that for 1,300 hours. And then I wanted to do something different. And these were my goals, something different. Greater performance, faster cruising and top end speeds, greater climb rate, roomier, more storage area, cleaner, more aerodynamic, improved efficiency, greater range, the ability to maximize weather exposure through performance enhancements. In other words, the faster I can climb up through the clouds, through the ice, the less exposure I have, the less you're not in harm's way as long. Major changes that are different or that are changed from the COSY Mark IV is the IO 540. It's a light homing engine, 260 horsepower, fully retractable landing gear. Landing gear is essentially velocity landing gear that's been adapted with different gear configuration or legs for the COSY platform using the standard velocity equipment. Increased fuel capacity, says 75 gallons, I'm actually closer to about 80. I've also used carbon fiber and utilized that for construction because of the higher G loads, the higher speeds, higher performance. What is different on this airplane is the custom turtle back. That is longer because I have a 12-inch fuselage stretch in there. The window, the upper windows are great form, and the upper and lower cowls had to be made from scratch since I've got the big VC six-cylinder in there. My engineering logic to start with was the power plant. What I wanted was more horsepower utilizing proven six-cylinder light-homing power plant reliability. The pros were increased speed, increased climb rate, smoother running operation, good dependable track record. I stayed away from the automotive engines and Subarus and things of that sort. I figured I was going into a lot enough unknown territory with this one where I wanted to go stick with a light-homing because it did have a good track record. The cons are the initial cost. It is a much more expensive engine. It wasn't when I initially bought this engine because the six cylinders were in less demand compared to the four cylinders. The operation cost, if you put the throttle, wide open throttle, you can burn 20 gallons per hour with this engine. The rebuild and the repair cost, that's all has to be brought into consideration. And it also weighs an extra 110 pounds. So you're going to have a heavier aircraft right off the bat. My design considerations for using a six-cylinder engine is a fuselage stretch. I had to do that for weight and balance considerations. Extra 110 pounds on the rear end mean that I had to sit further forward or carry an awful lot of ballast in front of the airplane. And I also had induced G loads. The next consideration was retractable gear, and the pros, which I, you know, I had to consider these pros to cons: increased speeds, shorter travel times, greater range, reduced drags, increased efficiency, greater economy, and the great looks, the sexy looks. The cons: you have added complexity, added cost, required maintenance, added installation time. And the NACA scoop is unusable, and I had to alternate to a different cooling method, which is downdraft cooling, and that's required because the gear installation does not allow you to install the NACA scoop. The design considerations were installation and engineering, a lot of head scratching, trying to figure out how to put this all together and make it work, increasing the fuel capacity, that's both main strakes or the wings, and also a fuselage sump tank. And once again, I had to utilize downdraft cooling because of the retractable gear. Next consideration was speeds and induced G-loads. Now I've got a higher performing airplane. It's going to go faster. It's going to see more loads. I've got a 200 knot cruise at about 10 gallons per hour, 2,500 RPM. I have a 250 knot D&E, so it's been tested to that. Doing, you know, low altitude, low approach flybys and whatnot, I can certainly see 240 knots. My cons are the things that are a detriment is you do have higher G loads and additional material cost. The design considerations were carbon fiber for the center section spar caps, the upper and lower ones, the main wing spar caps, upper and lower of course, the main wing skins are all out of carbon fiber, and then you have localized strengthening and reinforcing for the retractable landing gear, the canard attach points, yada yada, et cetera, because you're going that much faster. Required building additions that are above and beyond the Cozy Mark IV. Once again, here we go with the pros. It's faster, it's roomier, we've got its performance enhanced, greater climb rate, and also efficiency. The cons, additional engineering, once again, trying to figure out how to make this all work out. Added building time, there's more complex systems, especially that retractable landing gear, and scratch built components. Design considerations, the turtle back, that was once again stretched by 12 inches for the fuselage stretch. The upper windows had to be draped form. The cowling set, the upper and lower had to be built from scratch. The retractable main gear had to be adapted to the this installation. Even though it was proven in, you know, time and time again in velocities, I had to figure out how to make it work in a Cozy Mark IV. The strakes were changed for the greater fuel capacity and also a sump tank in the fuselage. And once again, that's basically my fuel capacity considerations. Performance of this airplane, 200 knot economy cruise, 10 to 11 gallons an hour at 6,000 feet. You have also 200 knot economy cruise at 8 to 9 gallons per hour at much greater altitudes, say 18,000 feet. My climb rate off the deck at sea level can be up to 3,000 feet per minute. Maximum speed is 270 miles an hour. The range is 1,500 statute miles. And the empty weight, 1,333, and the gross weight of 2,333. The engine itself, once again, weighs an extra 110 pounds. The retractable gear is almost comparable to what the regular Cozy Mark IV landing hoop is, but then you're also putting in the cylinder and the hydraulic pump and things of that sort, so it does add some extra weight. Flight characteristics. It has the identical mannerisms and as the Cozy III and the Cozy Mark IV, being stall-proof, spin-proof, it's predictable, it's efficient, and it's fast. And these were very, very important things that I wanted in any aircraft. And if I build again, it'll probably be another canard configuration with all these same assets. Flight testing and development expansion data. My CG range is 95.5 to 100.36. That's the normal operating range. I conducted a series of stall tests. The first series was conducted with 25 pounds of ballast in the lake passenger area, which provided a CG of 100.24. My power off stall was 53 knots, and I had a digital level in the fuselage so I could tell what my angle was, and that was 16 degrees of fuselage attitude. Partial power stall was 49 to 50 knots and 18 degrees of fuselage attitude. And then full power stall was 45 knots, 20 degrees fuselage attitude. During all these stall tests, no indication of any instability or deep stall conditions. So once again, it acted just like the Cozy Mark III and the Cozy IV. My flight, continuing flight test data. Next series was conducted moving the ballast to the co-pilot seat area and provided a CG of 100.57. This is aft of the original envelope, 99.5 to 100.36, and at that time I was exploring new territory. Power off stalls, 50 knots, 13 degrees fuselage attitude. Partial power stall, 44 knots, 15 degrees fuselage attitude. Full power stalls were not conducted. Indications of initial deep stall conditions were more prevalent. The fuselage angle was less than at forward CG results when the stalls occurred, which makes sense because I'm at a further aft CG. And flight instability was present with a slower recovery from each deep stall test, and further aft CG testing may have proved a deep stall condition. So at that point I said, let's call it a day. I wasn't going to go there. With 24 gallons of fuel in the main tank and 11 gallons in the sump tank, the fuel would have been cooled ahead of the main spar or in the aft of the main tanks, causing an even further aft CG condition. So what I did is I essentially brought up the worst condition possible with this amount of fuel in there to expand that envelope to see that I didn't go into unknown territory in the future. Let's see, flight test data, any comments are welcome. Further testing of this, okay, this was a message to Mark Zeitman that the testing, further aft CG conditions would not be explored because I was losing my elevator authority, and I was actually going into, say, a divergent wing rock. So it was to the point where I said enough of that, and let's just keep it safe. My future new build or design considerations, this would be if I would change this airplane or actually start from scratch once again. And this list goes on a ways here, but induction oil cooling inlet, I would make that a little bit larger for more inlet air for the induction and a little bit better flow to the oil cooler. Main landing gear, heavier main gear legs for increased strength and weight. Install larger wheel wells for using 600 by 6 tires. Right now I'm limited to 5 by 5s. Modify the hydraulic cylinder to eliminate some cable slack that I have in there when the gear is down and locked. Install push to start momentary button to jump start the hydraulic pump. That would be used if the pressure switches fail. Nose gear, move the pivot point forward 2.5 inches farther forward to accommodate a longer nose gear strut and instrument panel clearance. Provide longer nose gear strut to maintain positive incidence with main gear using 6x6 tires. We're putting bigger tires on the rear. It's going to bring the nose down a little bit. So by using a longer strut, you can keep that angle, your incidence correct. And a heavier layup schedule, S-glass, E-glass wraps on the strut. Install a heavier nose gear spring. Moving on, turtle back, enlarge the firewall area and turtle back headroom and shoulder area for additional room. And a cozy Mark IV if you get in the back seat. Me being 6 feet tall, put 2 6-footers back there, you're pretty tight. Your heads are moved together, your shoulders hitting the side. That's common in my plane and any other Mark IV that I sat in. The front seats, what I would change there is the stagger easy seating configuration for additional front seat loading, shoulder room and leg room. The front seat co-pilot seat offset will allow a greater front seat maximum weight because you're not both sitting at that fuselage station, now it's staggered. And move the front seat, my front seat or the pilot seat back 1 inch further for a little added leg clearance. Top cowling, I would be putting my, instead of using armpit scoops that I have on the lower cowling, I would put the air inlets for cylinder head cooling on the top cowling. Right now, the air is entering, making 2 right turns before it goes to my downdraft cooling, plenum covers over the cylinders. Smaller outlet area for drag reduction, individual exhaust pipes for performance enhancements increase. Cowl access, like the Steger Easy, basically that's similar to, you know, a car hood. Actually, the next one should have been top on the list, and that is the canopy. Thicker canopy material for bird strikes, complete canopy seal with overlapping lips on the outer side entry side and the inner side passenger side. With these canard airplanes and such a large plexiglass canopy, you get thermal contraction in the winter time, and you'll get a little bit more air blowing around the edges, entering the cockpit when you don't want it. And a thicker canopy is certainly a consideration when you're going 250 miles an hour. Cockpit ventilation, I don't have any vents installed in there right now. I usually go to altitude to go for cooler temperatures, but on a day like today, it can get pretty warm. Wing-to-winglet drag reduction blend. Ailerons, I feel that the airplane is a little bit slow to react at slower speeds, especially when you're in the pattern. So I would increase the overall length by 12 inches and add an extra depth to the ailerons for increased roll rate and roll control at lower speeds. Winglet airfoil change for increased performance. I know Klaus has done this. Not sure if that's real necessary by any means, but if I can go faster, that's always a good consideration. Nose access door seal, keep it from leaking. Strakes, move inner wall bulkheads out enough for an oxygen cylinder. Right now I have my AHARS, my voltage regulator, my EIS underneath the passenger or the front seat. I would move that over to the passenger seat so I can access and service that while in flight. Rudder pedals, move the fulcrum to the top. Fuselage sump tank, I would decrease the volume and move forward to provide reclined clearance for the front seat passengers. By moving that a little bit further forward, that will let you sit back a little bit further, give you a little bit more room. Since I have that 12-inch fuselage stretch, I do have room for that, so I think that would be a good idea. The sump tank, now that I carry 75 to 80 gallons, that's an awful lot of fuel. I really don't need to have all that fuel, especially when you're leaning it back and burning 10 gallons an hour, 10 to 11 gallons an hour at lower altitudes and less at higher altitudes. Next, electrical system, dual bus bars for redundancy, cowl flap doors possibly for better takeoff cooling, climb cooling, nose compartment, install dedicated area for nose ballast, toolkit, miscellaneous items, and then the cockpit area, map storage, just basically creature comforts, things of that sort. Retractable gear kit. There's been a lot of inquiries about if there would be availability for retractable gear for the Cozy Mark IV. The tooling has actually is in existence to make those gear legs for the Cozy Mark IV. I have a set of gear legs in my basement right now. I will be optimizing those. This is all what's included with the gear kit, all the way from the gear legs, wheel wells, leg wells, pulley holders, hydraulic pump going all the way through. Velocity would be manufacturing this, using all of their standard off-the-shelf components that they use in the Velocity, and the difference is you have Cozy Mark IV gear legs with Cozy geometry to pivot using the axle locations, or excuse me, the pivot locations, the actual attach locations that you have in the bulkhead, so the standard Mark IV, and using the axle location that's called out in the Cozy Mark IV also. So that's the biggest difference right there. And that could possibly be available this fall. Cost review for the Cozy 540RG. This is in comparison to the Cozy Mark IV. First of all, the engine is an IO 540D485, narrow depth parallel valve. That's 110 pounds heavier. You can get different models, but they will probably be a little bit heavier. My estimated cost difference on the engine, today I'm estimating that you're going to spend probably about $5,000 more for an IO-540 compared to an O-360 or IO-360. The retractable gear addition, the main gear is $4,000. The carbon fiber difference that I use, you add that all up between the spar caps and the wing skins, is $2,050. And then the engine mount was $1,300. Scratch build items are raw materials and time. So what you are eliminating from the standard plans that you do not need to purchase is the main landing gear hoop, the wheel wells, the upper and lower cowlings, preformed opera windows, the turtle back if you had chose to purchase that prefabricated, and also the standard engine mount. Plans addendum is still it's being considered. Life is much too busy for me at this time, so it may come in the future, but it's not on the front burner at this time. And there we go. Questions and answers?
What is your maximum front seat weight?
Maximum front seat weight. I commonly fly at 440 pounds, I forgot to remove the 25 pounds of lead ballast that I have in the front of the nose one time when we had that 440 in there, and I calculated it out that it was basically good. You could fly with about 480, 485 pounds in the front seat.
What product experience do you have?
I'm using a Kato. I'm on my second prop. The first prop was 68 inches diameter. You have to use a three-blade prop because of all the extra horsepower. And that was a 89 pitch. And that was a great prop for takeoff time performance, but I was going a little bit too fast on my top-end RPM. So now I have a new prop on there, same diameter, 68 inches, and this pitch is 92.
How does it handle in terms of comparison with your phone?
It's a bumpy ride. The canard does not have carbon fiber in it. The original canards were built and tested to 11G, something of that sort. So I'm way under those limits with anything that I plan to do with this airplane. So you do have a dampening effect on the canard, but the main wings are much stiffer with the carbon spars and the carbon wing skins. So it does give you a rougher ride. Yes, plane is on the field, and it is over by all the race planes from the Air Venture Cup. Yes, sir. The drag brake, question is, drag brake, is it bigger and a fuselage stretch? The drag brake is standard. That is standard planes. Nothing was modified there. The fuselage stretch is directly behind the front seat back bulkhead. So right behind your shoulder, everything from your shoulder forward on that airplane is standard. The 12 inches is added right behind the seat back, and that's why the back end looks so much bigger. Yes, sir?
Is there a bunch of a trim change for the main gear going up?
There is quite a bit of a trim change. Once you take off, you have a big cantilever effect with that gear down. When you retract that, you have to trim that out right away. You get used to it after a while. And also, my gear retraction is immediately once I break the ground. I'd like to get that gear up. I usually retract it around 90, 95 knots. And I'd like to have that tucked up in there before I reach about 100, 105, 110 knots. So I take off and I put it in a pretty steep attitude, till I get that gear up, then I level off a little bit, get some more speed going, and then increase my climb. The gear down is I bring it to 120 knots before I drop the gear. Yes, sir?
Why not lower winglets?
Why not lower winglets? Well, I looked at a number of different airplanes, Berkuts, Velocities. I wanted to save some grade, so I decided to eliminate them and go without. Yes, sir.
With
respect to
your little
part of the system, does high-angle attack have a high-angle attack? High-angle attack? No, but with the stall series at that FCG, I was starting to get a divergent wing rot, which if that was accelerated, I think I would have ended up stalling one wing or the other, and then that could put you into a stall spin condition. Yes, sir. Thank you. Actually, it's not so much for maintenance, it's grouping all my instruments together. So I have one localized area where I can run all my wire looms and things of that sort. But next to that is my EIS engine instrument system and also my linear voltage regulator. It just makes more sense to me to be able to pull up the cushion in the right seat, and then I put a storage area where I pull that up from a hinged cover. I have the Grand Rapids Technologies. Yes, sir.
What's your climb rate after cleaning up on takeoff? It looked like this morning when you left, you were going about 200 miles.
We were climbing initially over 3,000 feet a minute, and then once we actually to take off, we had to stay 500 feet to get out because of the incoming traffic. But once we got out, then I pulled the stick back, and initially we're probably around 3,000 feet a minute. Then around 2,000, I think we were leveling off at 1,000 to 1,500 feet a minute.
I was seeing 1,500 feet per minute steady at 140 knots indicated.
140 knots. I was out on the field and one of the trucks out there working, and you guys flipped the pattern. I just couldn't believe how
we were screaming.
Yep.
Funny airplane.
I will say, though, that when we were at altitude going real fast, we're also burning 20 gallons an hour. Yeah, it was a trade-off.
Yeah. We were doing speed runs. We were doing, Mark was flying for about two-thirds of the time up there today, and we did just fine, and I had to show him what my fuel flow was. So that's always a big consideration. And Mark, what was my fuel flow? That true airspeed was, I think we clicked it in, we were right around 200 knots.
Yeah.
200 knots at that fuel burn. All right.
Yep. We've got time for a couple more questions, if anybody has any. If not, thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.